Josh Loenberg joins us to discuss. Josh, how you doing?
Doing good, Jason. What's happening?
What's the Lowry update? Why is he out?
Not a surprise. It's now the third game in a row that the Raptors are opting to rest Kyle Lowry. Now, Lowry's been playing through sort of a variety of nagging ailments over the last month or so, and now looking towards the stretch run in the playoffs, prioritizing health for Lowry down the stretch. They've decided to sit him out here for a couple weeks, and more importantly than obviously the matchup, who they're playing, how difficult the opponent is, and it's a tough one tonight against the Cavaliers. The Raptors have kind of said that it's going to be Lowry's body, Lowry's health that determines when the starting point guard is back in the lineup, not who they're up against, and they're proving that tonight. Despite the tough matchup against LeBron and the Cavs, Lowry's going to sit out again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big hole in the backcourt. You said it's Lowry's body's going to determine. Is there any kind of even a loose timeline on what expectations are, though, for his return?
Nothing specific. I would expect he'd return sometime on this upcoming road trip. The Raptors are in Charlotte on Friday, then go to Oklahoma City in San Antonio. I don't think this is a long-term thing. In terms of a specific injury, we don't even really know what's been ailing him. I imagine at the top of the list of ailments is a hand injury that's been bothering him. He got an abrasion on that right hand, his shooting hand, diving for a ball on a win over Washington just a few weeks ago. Dwayne Casey indicating the other day that it may have been infected. He also dislocated a finger on that same hand a few weeks earlier. So until the Raptors are confident that Lowry can come back and be his old self again, because he had been shooting just roughly around 35% over the last month or so. And although seeding is important in the Eastern Conference, it's important for the Raptors to get back on track. All of that is for naught if they get to the postseason and then Lowry's playing anything like he had been.
What about DeMar DeRozan? He came back and for the first few games looked pretty good, Josh, but he's really struggled as of late. Is he forcing it too much, or is it just a case of a guy coming off a lengthy injury, you have that usual adrenaline push, and now maybe your game level just isn't there?
Yeah, that's sort of what Dwayne Casey and what DeMar himself have pointed to in terms of coming back from the injury, getting back into game shape. This is a player who for most of his NBA career and throughout most of his life, really, he's used to playing basketball at a high level every day, being in the gym, getting up shots, going through his usual routine. And for over 6 weeks, he wasn't able to do that. So I think the jump shot has been off as a result. He's also been forcing, to answer your question. I think a lot of what he's doing offensively is on the perimeter, taking very tough long twos, fadeaways, shots over two, sometimes three defenders, and I think he's proven not only this season but in seasons past that he's at his best when he lets the game come to him a little bit, when he's exploiting the fact that teams are keying in on him by attracting that attention and finding the open man, getting his teammates involved. That's what he did so well the other night against Philadelphia. And you say, well, it's against the second worst team in the NBA, the 76ers. But for DeRozan, I think that was a good start, and that's sort of what he needed. He needed one game to get his confidence back up, see the ball go through the net again. And the hope for the Raptors here is that he'll continue to do that, because with Lowry out, DeMar is an important player for this team offensively.
Yeah, Josh, it's an interesting dynamic, because the Eastern Conference is really tight. They want to do what's best for Lowry in the long run, but there's not much breathing room. Who comes off that bench? Who makes the biggest difference while they navigate this time without Lowry?
Well, I think the player that steps in that's of big-time importance right now is Gravis Vasquez, the backup point guard who now becomes the starting point guard. Now, back in the summer when the Raptors re-signed Kyle Lowry, they also extended the contract of Gravis Vasquez, and the reason being, one of the reasons why they gave him as much as they did, which $6-7 million is quite a bit for a backup point guard, is because you need insurance for a player like Lowry. Obviously, a lot is asked of Kyle. He plays a lot of minutes. He's carried a lot of this team's responsibility over the last year or two, but he's also a player that hasn't been especially durable throughout his career. A lot of that has to do with the style of play. He's sort of a reckless player in the sense that he spends a lot of time in the paint. He goes for rebounds. He dives on the floor. So you need someone to back him up. And Vasquez is a guy that has started before. He led the league in assists with New Orleans a couple years ago. He's a very capable backup point guard, but now obviously his role expands and he's got to step up, and he knows it. He talked the other day, said that his goal, as long as Lowry is out, is to average 10 assists a game, really get his teammates going, and that's something that we know he's capable of doing. That's something he has to do, because this Raptors team is at their best when they move the ball, and it all starts with those point guards, which as long as Lowry is out, will be Vasquez and the two guard Lou Williams coming off the bench.
Josh Loewenberg joins us. Raptors taking on the surging Cleveland Cavaliers. Both the Bulls and the Cavs are, you know, they basically just have one and two more losses respectively than the Raptors right now. They all have 38 wins. Toronto currently the number two seed, but could drop to the number four seed rather quickly. And you could make the argument right now, Josh, the number four seed might be better than the number three seed. You'd rather face a struggling Washington team maybe than that Milwaukee Bucks squad.
Certainly, and the Eastern Conference is so wide open right now. I mean, to even assume that Washington is going to be the fifth seed is reaching a little bit right now because of how poorly they're playing, and the Bucks have been solid all season. So it's very possible Milwaukee could jump Washington, and that's sort of the danger when you try and play basketball God by either trying to intentionally lose games or rest players to face a specific opponent. We saw the Nets sort of do that towards the end of last season in an attempt to face the Raptors instead of facing the Bulls, and obviously it worked out pretty well for them, but it's a dangerous thing to do, and when you have a coach like Dwayne Casey who's all about winning, you have competitive players in the locker room, it's not in these guys' DNA to take a step forward, to take a step back, even if it means taking a step forward. I think if you're the Raptors, all you can really do is worry about yourselves. They've been such an inconsistent, such an unpredictable team all season. When they're hitting their shots and playing well, they're as good as anyone in the league. But as we've seen over the last few years, when they're slumping, it can get ugly. So ultimately, if I'm being honest, I could see them beating anybody in the playoffs just as easily as I could see them losing to anyone in the playoffs. It just depends on how well they're playing going into that postseason. So that's kind of the focus for them right now, getting everyone healthy and getting their game back going into the stretch run here.
Josh, you talked about inconsistency. You're much closer to the team than we are, obviously. What in your mind, I don't know if you can put your finger on one thing or one area, what's the difference, the biggest difference between good Raptors and bad Raptors?
I think it's a style of play thing. I mean, they rely so heavily on isolation plays, on kind of volume scores like Lou Williams, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. They're very similar in that sense. So when those guys are hitting their shots, I mean, this is a team that has scored as a top five offensive team in the league for most of the season, but that number, that stat is sort of misleading because some nights they're really good and some nights when those shots aren't falling, they're not so good. When you're a team that relies so much on tough shots, you're not getting easy baskets, you're not getting a lot of looks at the rim. You have to rely on your defense to bail you out on those nights when things aren't going well, and quite frankly, the Raptors' defense hasn't been up to par this season. They've been a middle-of-the-pack defensive team. They've struggled to find that balance. Some nights the offense is clicking, but oftentimes those nights the defense isn't, and vice versa. So, I mean, right now balance is key for this team. Dwayne Casey has talked about it over the last few days. The great teams in this league are able to lock down on defense while also generating easy points and doing the job on offense. So that's going to be the key for them going into the playoffs, and ultimately they've got to get their defense back up. Dwayne Casey is a defensive first coach, and that's something that wins at this time of the year. That's something that wins come April and May. You have to be able to play defense.
Josh, the Raptors were so good early, it might have given, you know, unrealistic expectations of this team. At the start of the year, no one was picking the Raptors to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, at least not one or number two. How do you think that's going to impact them in the final quarter of the season? Like, are they a team that now feels that they should be a number one or number two and is fighting to get back there rather than just kind of play their own game, which should be a number four, number five team in the East, which is still very competitive.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'm not sure it's affected internal expectations. I think this team still understands that they're young, that they're growing, that they're building. That being said, the goal is obviously to improve on last year's result. They want to get back to the playoffs, they want to win the division, and they want to ultimately win around this season. That was the goal going into the season, that was the goal, and that remains the goal now. I think where the expectations have been altered is externally. The media, the fans that have watched this team set franchise records this season, and all of a sudden it does seem like maybe winning one round isn't good enough. But I think the organization has been pretty good in terms of staying on course with what they've been trying to do. They didn't make a move at the deadline to kind of sacrifice the future, sacrifice draft picks or young assets in order to grab a player that might give them a better chance at winning today. They're sticking with the plan, and I think that's ultimately the message here to the fan base, that it's a process and that patience is something that's important right now. And ultimately, this team's in a pretty good spot going forward. They're going to have cap space this summer and beyond. They have some young players that are growing, Jonas Valanciunas, et cetera. And they still have an ace in the hole in Bruno Caboclo, who, as you recall, was a surprise pick at 20th overall, hasn't really played this year, but he's 19 years old, has a whole lot of potential, and he's someone that could be a factor for this team over the next few years.
Josh, always good to catch up. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.